Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Just want to read one verse as we introduce a new area today. One verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." I urge you to imitate me. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer before we begin? Father, I thank you again for your word, and I thank you for giving us your spirit that empowers us to understand and grasp it. We believe with revelation comes transformation. Father, before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come to possess me, my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what you show me to do. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic burden. I command you to be silent. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. You will not interfere. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking and your children are hearing your voice. Thank you that you are going to say things today that are not going to come out of my mouth. I thank you, Father, your children will hear it, they will know it's you, they will capture it, and they will be obedient to it. We believe that a single word from you can change everything. And so, Father, I thank you again, as your word goes forth, it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Holy Spirit, invite you to take your words, turn the light on, and cause them to come alive. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody ready to receive said, amen. This morning I want to begin and just introduce an area that we're going to be looking at over the next number of weeks. And I would just like you to write down in your bulletin, I want you to write down the title of the message in the series, and then I want to change it because it's not the right one. But I'd like you to write it down. And I would like you to write down, learning to become an influencer. Learning to become an influencer. Now you can write that down, and then I'd like you to cross that out. That may make no sense, but it will in a minute. Learning to become an influencer. Cross it out, and would you write this down? Recognizing I already am one. Recognizing I already am an influencer. Over the next number of weeks, and I got to tell you, the Lord has been incubating this inside of me for a long while, and so I'm excited going into the summer and sharing with you. But I want to just share with you one thing that just happened this week, and then I want to show you a clip, and then I'm just going to share a few accounts with you for today, just as an introduction. How many of you give blood? You go to the Red Cross and you donate? How many of you do that? How many of you have ever done that, ever in your life? Yeah, I won't ask you why you don't do it anymore, but this past week I was up in the city. I was went to visit the University Hospital, someone up there, and on the way back, the Lord just laid in my heart and said, "You're going right by it. Just stop in and see if you can get in." And so I did. I stopped and I said, "Do I need to make an appointment or can I get in?" And they go, "You can come right in. Today is a slow day. You can get right in." That almost never happens. So I went in and I did all my questionnaire thing. I sat down, got my drink and my snack, and then they took me and they put me in the chair there. And you know what that's about. They ask you which arm, and I go, "Doesn't matter." So I'm sitting there. And then a young Filipino lady, she's probably in her, I don't know, maybe late 30s, maybe 40. She comes up and she tells me her name and she says, "I'm going to be the one doing it for you." And so we just begin talking. And well, I started talking a little bit later. I was kind of looking forward to having a little quiet time. And the Lord just said, "I want you to ask her something." So I said, "Okay." So I said, "Can I ask you, where are you from?" And she goes, "From the Philippines." Now, I gotta tell you, and Feely, I gotta just say this carefully, and maybe it's just me. I'm not totally good at picking up everybody from the Philippines. Some of the Philippine people look Japanese. And Chinese. It's true. Have you ever been mistaken for Chinese? You don't look like one. No, you don't. But I asked because I just can't assume, right? And it's probably best to do that. So I asked, I said, where are you from? She goes, from the Philippines. I said, oh. I said, how long have you been here? She goes, 4 years. I said, that's great. Welcome to Canada. She goes, well, Canada wasn't my first choice. And I knew when she said that, the spirit just on the inside of me said, this is going somewhere. Remember those of you in one-to-one discipleship? We talked about transition. You hear a transition word and you know it's going somewhere. And so I said to her, Canada wasn't your first. And I said, where was your first? And she said to me, well, I applied to the United States. But she said, and I got accepted, she goes, but with all that's going on down there, she goes, I'm glad I'm not there. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, well, that President Trump, oh, throw a dog a bone. And I said, you don't like him? She goes, oh, no, I don't like what he's doing. And I said, can I ask you, in that moment, what would you have said? What's he doing? You could ask that question. How many of you have said, gee, that's too bad. I really like him. How many of you have said that in a public arena? Yeah, some of you do. Some of you back away from this kind of interaction. I said, that's too bad. I said, I really like him. And this was her comment. She looks and goes, so you love Trump? Now, how do you transfer from I really like him to you love him? And I'll tell you why, because they hate him. And so they go, if I hate him and you don't hate him, you got to love him. And I go, well, I said, I'm not saying I really love him, but I said, I really appreciate some of the things he's doing. And I was thinking, this is probably not the right time to have her poke a needle in my body. But I didn't set up the time. So I said, I really like him. And I said, can I ask you something? I said, did you like it when there was 25 million illegal immigrants and murderers and rapers and drug addicts coming across the border into the United States? I said, did you like that? She goes, no. And I said, all that changed with Trump. He closed the border and he's getting rid of them. I said, Trump changed that. I said, did you like it when drugs were flowing across the border and over 300,000 American young people were being killed with drug overdose every year? I said, did you like that? She goes, no. I said, Trump changed that. I said, did you like it when businesses were leaving America like crazy and going all over the world? I said, did you like that? She goes, no. I said, Trump changed that. Billions are coming back in and industry and business coming in. I said, did you like it when men were allowed to play in women's sports and dominating every woman activity and a male was standing on there because they did a trans in process? I said, did you like that? She goes, no. I said, Trump changed that. And I said, I suppose you liked it when they could abort children even after they were born, that you could abort them and kill them freely all over the United States. You probably like that. She goes, no, I didn't like that. I go, Trump changed that. And here's the, I said, did you like it when they kicked out prayer and kicked out the Ten Commandments and they kicked out religion and there was an anti-religion movement in the United States? I said, did you like that? And I could just see, because I knew that there was some Christian thing in her background. And she goes, no, I didn't like that. I go, Trump changed that. He brought prayer back into the White House. He brought Bible study back in the White House. He surrounded himself with godly men and women. He is making so you can be a Christian and not have to be afraid in the United States. This was her comment. I guess I've been listening to the wrong people. And I said, yeah, you have. I said, who have you been listening to? She goes, my friends. I said, you got to change friends. And her last comment to me was, she goes, wow. She goes, I'd never thought about that. She goes, I think I'm going to have to do some research of my own. And I went, I think that would be a good idea. Can I ask you a question? And then she left, and somebody else came and pulled the blood out of me because she was going on and doing whatever else she was doing. And can I ask you, do you think she'll forget our conversation? Do you think the fact that I countered what she was believing and what she was totally ready, because I'll tell you, when people get into politics and anti-Trump, they are willing to tell you their opinion. If it's in the hot tub, the coffee shop, sitting across the kitchen table, they will tell you unashamedly how they feel. And most of us just kind of back away because we don't want to fight. To have somebody stand up, not because they love him, but because they look at the things that are going on that are good and godly. Can I ask you a question? Do you think that God may have used me to influence a change in her thinking walking out of there that day? In a 5-10 minute conversation, God set me up to be an influencer in her life. And I believe because we ended off on prayer, we ended off on the Ten Commandments, we ended off on religion and Christianity being encouraged to go forward as compared to being squashed, I believe the Spirit of God began stirring something on the inside of her going, maybe I'm believing the wrong thing. Can I tell you what influencers do? Influencers have the ability to come into your life and the ability to communicate to you or to model something for you that is different than what you believe and puts you in a position where you are open to think about it or question it or receive it. Whereas before it was like, I'm good in my little bubble. An influencer will provide you the opportunity to change, to grow. That's what they will do. I want you to look, and over the next number of weeks, I'm going to be showing you a number of different clips because I want to tell you the Bible is full of influencers. The Bible is full of them. People that God used to impact other people's lives and bring them to a different place than they were before. I want to show you, I think, one of my favorite and maybe one of the more profound in Scripture. We all know the story. A little outcast lady who all of a sudden became the spark of revival in her entire town. You know the story? What is it? Woman at the well. I want you to see this. Duncan, can you shoot it up? Could we have the lights turned down just a little bit to focus? I want you to see the scene. For those of you who've seen Chosen, you know it, but let's look at it again. How many of you saw that part of the Chosen? Yeah, if you have not seen it, I encourage you to go do that. We're going to be talking about her a little bit more. Can I ask you a question? In about an 8-minute conversation with Jesus, did that woman become an influencer? She began running away going, this man told me everything about my life. And her life, she had kept it hidden in shame for how long? And all of a sudden, she began sharing it without shame. And the entire village, it said, came out, kept him for 2 days. And the people said, we now all believe, not because of her, but because of you. But God used her as an influencer. Can I just say this? If God can use her, can God use anybody? I want to give you a few examples this morning in my life of people who have influenced in certain areas and then a couple areas where God used me. I want you to begin to get a broad picture of what influence begins to look like. 1994 is when Jane and I came to Camrose. In the first year, I went to Stony Plain. They had a leadership conference that was there. That was the church that we attended before we came out here. We went there and we met a man by the name of Paul Anderson. Some of you got to know him. He was at our Bible camp. He'd been to the church here. Paul Anderson became a spiritual father of mine and lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I was 33 years of age. Went down to the pastor's conference. I was the youngest pastor that was there. There was probably about 60 of us who were there. And during that period of time, Paul and I began to get to know each other. He spoke and prophesied over my life. But Paul, in one of his messages, he shared something that I will never forget, and it has impacted my life ever since. Paul talked about the fact that when he was a young fella, he became a youth pastor in a church under a man by the name of Larry Christensen. You've heard me talk about him before. He was the head of the spiritual renewal movement in the Lutheran Church in the United States of America. He was like the Moses in the Lutheran Church. God used him to bring spirit-filled Christianity into the Lutheran Church and waken it up. Paul said when he went to the church and he began, he said the pattern of the pastor, of Larry, he said every morning when they began, they would go into his office and they would have a time of prayer together. He said, I will never forget going in there as a young man. And he said, the first time when I sat down, he said, Larry sat down in his chair and I watched him pull out a notepad and a pen and stick it beside his chair. And he thought, that's kind of weird. Didn't know why he did that. And as they began praying, Paul said, I got to admit, I kind of kept my eyes open a little bit because I wanted to see what was going on. And he said, as we were praying and as we were sitting there quietly, all of a sudden he said, Larry would open his eyes, he'd grab his pen and he'd write some things down in there. He'd put his pen down again and they would keep on praying. And he said, I couldn't help it. By the end of it, he said, I asked Larry, I said, can I ask you a question? He goes, what are you writing down when we're praying here? And what are you using a notepad for? Larry says, well, he says, when I pray, he says, I believe it's just not one way. I talk to God. And he says, God talks to me. And when he talks to me, I want to capture it. In that moment, Paul Anderson said, he said, something went off inside of him. And he said, he was going, are you serious? That God will speak in such a way that you can write it down and you can capture it? He goes, that moment changed his life and gave him a hunger to begin to seek to hear the voice of God with what he saw in his mentor, Larry Christensen. Larry was an influencer without saying a word, simply a notepad and a pen, and it affected that young man's life. Paul Anderson took over from Larry, became the spiritual leader in the Lutheran renewal movement in the United States of America. God used Paul powerfully. And when Paul spoke that word into my life as a young pastor, a notepad and a pen, it was branded inside of me like asbestos. And the very next day I woke up in my devotion time, I had a notepad and a pen. Can I ask you a question? Was Paul an influencer in my life? In many ways. I want to give you one more, and then I want to share a couple other things. When Jane and I were first married, we were living in Edmonton, and we just began working like everybody else does. And we were like, okay, you know, do we do an RRSP or, you know, what do we do? And so I read in the Edmonton Journal, I read about a company who is providing a return of 8% at that time on your money. If you invest with them, it was an 8% return. And it was a first mortgage company. I had never heard about that before. They were a company that lended money out to people to buy first mortgages. They couldn't get loans at the bank. And so we set up a meeting and we went and had a meeting with a name I'll never forget. Her name is Laureen. Her brother was in Calgary, had an office there. She was up here. We sat down and talked to her. We went away. We talked about it, prayed about it. And it was like, you know what? Let's try it. This is outside of our circle, but let's try it. So we took $5,000. We invested in this company. And over the next year, sure enough, every month there was a return, a check that came. It wasn't big because it was only $5,000, but 8% was returning on our money over that year. As a result of that, we thought, you know what? A year is proof. We put a little more money into it. The year after, we put a little more money in. In the midst of that third or fourth year, Laureen made a statement to us and she said, you know, there is somebody who works downtown Edmonton that I'd like you to meet. And I said, why? She said, well, they do investing a little bit broader than what we do. Ours is limited to this, but I think you guys could do a little bit better by talking to this other person. Now, that's really weird when you have a person working on commission to send you to someone else. We said, okay. We phoned, set up a meeting. I went to see this lady, and she was working in the investment department. We talked about it. She knew Laureen, and she was sharing with me about what they do. But then she made a statement. She said, you know, she said, I don't think I'm the right person for you. She said, there's another fellow who owns a company over here. They do investments that are similar, first and second, but they're giving returns of 16 to 22%. And it was like, whoa. So I said, okay. She gave me his name, gave me the number. We set up an appointment. Jane and I went to see them. We talked about it. We were familiar a little bit because of what we'd already been doing. We said, you know what? We're going to give it a try. We took a little bit of money. We put it into there. And sure enough, every month, the check began coming back 16%, 18% on our investment. And after a period of a year, as we got to know them, we took a little more. We transferred it in, took a little more. We had a relationship that lasted for about 15 years. The amazing thing, when his wife's brother died, they phoned me because I was the only pastor they knew and said, would you do the service at my brother's funeral? Didn't know him. But we built a relationship where that happened. Then he retired. Then he transferred us to someone else. Everything changed at that point. But can I ask you a question? Sitting down with a lady who we began with, and she said, there's somebody else that I would like you to meet that I think can do better. Was she an influencer in our life? And when we sat down with the other lady downtown, and she goes, you know, I don't think I'm the right one, but here's a person that I think would do better for you. Was she an influencer in our life? Can I tell you, if all we do in people's lives is point them in a direction where they will be blessed, point them in a direction where we can meet somebody different that's in our life, they become an influencer in our life. If all we do is introduce them to somebody different, we become an influencer. I want to give you a picture. Before Jane and I had children, Jane managed Spa Ladies in Edmonton. After a couple years, she ended up quitting. We began fostering children. She stayed home. The first foster kids we had, Bradley and Elena, he was 8, she was 6. He was going to be institutionalized. They had come out of a home where the mom was a coke mule, and the kids were taken out of the home. We were in a program where we would take the kids and we would foster them, and we would spend time with the parents and we'd work with them. I want to give you one just quick story. We took them to church with us. And one Sunday after church was done, Bradley, 8 years of age, he was in the nursery and he was playing with the cars. And I said, Bradley, let's go. And he had cars in his hand, and so he didn't get up. And I said, Bradley, could you put the cars back in the box? And we're leaving now. And he sat there and he held on to the cars and he wouldn't let go. And I said, Bradley, you have a choice. You can put the cars down and come with me, or I'm going to pick you up and we're going to leave. He sat there, didn't move. I walked in. I picked him up, 8-year-old, put him beside me here. He held on to the cars. He began screaming and thrashing. I walked out of the church. He was making a scene. Didn't matter. I walked out of the church. Everybody saw. Walked down the sidewalk. Didn't matter. Walked to the car. He's screaming. We walk inside. I'm holding him. He's screaming. We get home. He's still got the cars in his hand. And he's screaming and thrashing. I go into the bathroom and I put him into a position like this. So he can't hurt himself. He can't hurt me. I'm on the floor. He's sitting between my legs. I'm holding him, restraining him. He's kicking, thrashing, doing whatever he can. I will tell you, we were in there for 2 hours. This boy, if you touched him, he was like cement. He had been beat so many times. He was like cement. That's how hard he was. At the end of that 2-hour period, and every time he starts thrashing and screaming, I would pull tighter. When he let off, I would let off a little bit. At the end of that period of time, 2 hours, he turns around his little head and he looks at me and he goes, when are you going to beat me? What was he waiting for? The pattern in his life. Whenever he did something wrong, whenever he thrashed, whatever he did, he got beat. He was waiting for me to beat him so that the cycle could be complete and then he could be free. I looked at him, holding him like that. I said, Bradley, I said, I'm never going to beat you. I said, I am just holding you so you don't hurt yourself. And as soon as you are ready to stop thrashing, I said, I will let you go. When he heard me say, I will never beat you, his whole body just went like this. He stopped thrashing. I released him carefully because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. He squirms around where he's sitting on the floor and he comes and he hugs me chest to chest and holds me. 2 days later, we're building a barbecue and he asks me, he reaches over and said, Dad, could you hand me the screwdriver? We never had an issue again. That little boy, when he went to school and Jane would go to school and introduced him, teacher told him what was going on, that little boy would go climb underneath the teacher's desk. He would sit there all day long. And they left him there because that was the most safe place for him to be, didn't interact, didn't do anything. He went to see a counselor shortly before we got him. The counselor left the room. He took a marker and that entire room, all the walls were totally decorated by him. The counselor said, if this doesn't work, he's going into institution. At 8 years of age, he's going into institution. Can I tell you, in that moment when he heard me say, I will never beat you, something changed inside of him. When we first got them, everybody said, the little six-year-old is the angel and he's the devil. Can I tell you, when things broke on the inside of him and he started getting healthy and free, he became the angel and she became the devil. But that's another story. Can I ask you a question? In that little boy's life, who is now a grown man, and I have no idea, he ended up going back to his mom, to the Coke mule. But can I ask you a question? Did that one encounter plant inside of him that it doesn't always have to be that way? It can be different. It can be different than in my home. I don't always have to get beat. Did I become a person of influence in that little eight-year-old boy's life? We've told you before, about 20 years after, we had a set of girls. About 20 years after, they'd been looking for us. They went back to their mom. Their mom ended up being murdered in front of them. She had a man in her home. The men were coming in and out like a revolving door. One of those men ended up murdering her in front of the girls. They ended up in another place. 20 years later, those girls found us. They had kept, we put a photo album together of all of their time together. They had kept the photo album. It was basically worn out. We got together and had a meeting. It was like an Oprah moment. And one of the girls said to us, they go, you know, the biggest thing coming out of your home is that we knew it could be different than the way we were raised. And now they're married and they have their own children. Why? Because of the way they were raised? Or because somebody was an influencer in their life that said, it can be different. His name was Bradley. 8 years of age. I will never forget that young boy. I want you to think for a moment. The people in your life, the people who came in that God used to influence you in big ways or in small ways, people who just came, and as a result of their influence, a result of their model, as a result of their words, something changed inside of you and you made a difference. You made a decision to be different. I've told you this story and I'm going to end on this one because this past week we had opportunity to meet with a beautiful lady in our church. Struggling, coming out of depression, struggling with demonic voices inside of her mind, and we ended up having a conversation about hearing the voice of God. Tom Egham, you've heard me talk about him. Effie Kaminsky, you've heard me talk about her. I'm in university, and I'm riding on the bus going back and forth. I'm leading a young adults group, about 100, 120 college-age kids coming together every Thursday evening for 3.5 hours at the church. I'm riding on the bus and I end up sitting beside a young lady going to university. Her name is Effie. And we start talking. We get to know each other. We're on the same bus going back and forth. And one day she gets on and she goes, Carl. She goes, I had a wild night last night. I said, what happened? She goes, about 8:30. She goes, I'm in my pajamas and I'm everything settled and I'm just getting ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden the Lord says to me, Effie, get dressed and go to Westmount Shopping Mall. Do you remember the story? Really quickly, Effie gets dressed, goes to Westmount, ends up sitting beside a young girl that was going to take her life. And her last thought was, I'm going to the mall. If nobody pays attention to me, I'm taking my life. She sits down, they have a conversation, prays with her, leads her to the Lord, and says, we're going to keep in touch. That changed that young girl's life. But can I tell you, sitting on the bus that day, Effie speaking into my life, she became an influencer in my life. I remember going, God, I want to hear with the clarity of Effie. I want to be in my pajamas. I want to be watching my favorite show. And when you speak and go, call, I want you to go to Westmount Shopping Mall now. I will hear it. I'll be obedient. Get up and go and do it. Not knowing what I'm going to find out till I get there. Did God use Effie to be an influencer in my life? Tom Egham? It began with Tom. 19 years of age, Amy Grant concert. Michael W. Smith was opening. Tom Egham came and he spoke in between. Tom was one of those guys who smuggled Bibles with Brother Andrew into all the communist countries of the world. Tom gets up and he begins speaking. Have no idea who Tom is. Tom gets up and says, met Brother Andrew and he invited us to come and be a part of this. And so he said, we thought that would be amazing. And so he said, the first thing we did is we flew to Holland. And he said, for the first six months in Holland, he goes, all we did was learn how to hear the voice of God. He said, because when we get into a communist country, we don't know where we're going. We don't know who we're meeting. We don't know where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be. He goes, if you don't hear the voice of God and you get there, he goes, you're hooped. I remember the rest of the story like he said it yesterday, but I will never forget the moment he said, we spent 6 months and learned how to hear the voice. In that moment, something went off inside of me and goes, if he can learn it, I can learn it. Did Tom Egham become an influencer in my life? One message, one word. He may have spoken for 15 minutes, but the words that I heard from Tom affected and changed my life and the course and my prayer life and the belief inside of me, if Tom can hear, I can hear. And this past week, as we spent time with this young lady, shared much of what God has taught me, how to hear the voice of God with clarity, and the lights began going on. She believed, I don't hear God. God has distanced himself. I don't even know if I'm saved. I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. And God all of a sudden opened up her eyes and she's going, I'm hearing God all the time. Yes, you are. God used an influencer in my life to awaken something in me. And now God is able to use me to be an influencer to wake up something in someone else. I want to say this in closing. This series is not about becoming an influencer, because the truth is, every one of us are. And I will break this down in more detail, but I'm going to say it really clearly. Some of us are influencers that are encouraging people spiritually to find God, to grow in their relationship with Him, talking to believers that are growing, non-believers coming. Some of us, we're an influencer, but basically what we're saying is, you can be a Christian and this is all it looks like. You're neutral. There's no life to it. It's not negative, but it's like, you know what? I can live powerless Christianity and I can do this till I die. And this is what Christianity looks like. So the influence you have as a believer is no change, no growth, no fruit. This is the motion of Christianity, going through the form, but no power. And we're going to talk about this a little bit, because the truth is, even in the church, there are negative influencers. We were talking about this the other day. Can I ask you a question? How many people in the church believe that all of the gifts of the Spirit died when the last apostle died, that all the gifts of the Spirit died, dispensationalism, and they don't function today? There's no healing today. There's no prophesying today. None of the gifts are functional today. Are there spiritual leaders who are teaching that? Are they influencers? Yes, they are. But they're influencing negatively. Someone asked the question the other day. We were looking in Scripture and talking about what God is wanting in our life as far as blessing goes. And I made the statement and I said, we have a leader in our world today, and we've had him for a long time, that is leading over 1 billion people who call themselves Christian, call themselves Catholic in the church, and teaching them God's will for your life is poverty. 1 billion people hearing from a spiritual leader who they believe is speaking from God, going, God wants you to live in poverty. And then he sends out the offering plate to get an offering. Can I tell you, we are one of the three. Either our life, we are an influencer, either our life is going to be negative and moving people backward because we're communicating things and modeling things that are not Christ-like, or we are totally neutral. You can look at our life and go, you know what? You can be Christianity, you can be a Christian, and there is nothing to it. Or we can be an influencer that moves people in the direction of becoming more Christ-like, going, no content with where we are, there is more. That's where we're going in this next month, church. We're going to be talking about not becoming an influencer. We're going to talk about recognizing you already are an influencer. Just what kind are you, and how do we become what God wants us to be? That's what this next month is going to be about. I encourage you to be praying into that. Dana, could I have you come? I want to ask you a question this morning, and I'm going to ask it coming up. How many of you, if I asked you this morning to stand up and share at least two or three people who have influenced your life in a positive way to grow, to become more in relationship with God than what you are, how many of you could stand up and go, I could tell you two or three of them right now, no problem. Just raise your hand if you could do that. Yes. We're going to talk about those people. Would you bow with me this morning in a word of prayer? Father, I first want to say thank you that even though we might not remember them, I want to say thank you for the people that you have brought into our life at different times of our life that you have used in order to be an influence to move us out of where we were into a greater place of growth, a greater place of maturity, a greater place of Christ-likeness. Father, we want to say thank you for those people. I thank you for those people that came into our life, for those of us who came to know Christ later in life. Thank you for those people who came in, and because of their life, because of their words, because of their model, you brought us to a point where we were open to receive Christ. They influenced us to make that eternal decision. Father, I thank you that you have filled us with your Spirit. And as we saw today on the screen, it doesn't take a university degree. It doesn't take Bible school to become an influencer. It takes an encounter with you. And all of a sudden to go and to begin to speak about the change in our life that you have made and become an influencer in the lives of people. Father, in the days that we're living in the days where many are living lukewarm, in the days where, even in the church, many of the influencers are negative. They're deceiving. They're misleading. They're teaching the wrong things. Father, you are raising up a people who are becoming powerful influencers to touch the lives of people. Lord, we think about Charlie Kirk and how you used him. But you are empowering every one of us to recognize who we are, to recognize what we have, to recognize how we can become an influencer in the lives of people for godly good. I release a grace over this body that you'll begin to prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we begin walking through this, that we would be open to hear, open to receive. God, we'd get revelation. For those of us, Father, who have lived our life just not really thinking we're having an impact, not really wanting to be used, just going through the motion, God, I pray that you begin to stir inside of us the revelation that you are wanting us to be more than we are. You are wanting us to have an impact of the lives of people around us, whether it's in the blood donor clinic or the bakery. God, would you begin to stir that up inside of us? And I thank you by faith that we will come out of this series, out of this time together, and Father, we will recognize that with you, we have the ability to step into a dark world, the ability to step into the lives of other people and allow you to flow through us, to touch them, to bring eternal change. I release that grace to prepare us for all that's coming. If you are here today or if you are listening, and there has never been a time in your life, you may have gone to church for years, you may have gone through all the motions, but like so many, you may have never heard in your church that we need to be born again to have a relationship with you. If today the desire of your heart is to make that decision to invite Christ to come into your life and begin that relationship with Him, I want to invite you to pray after me and just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe you rose from the dead. I invite you now as an act of my will. Come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. And use me to touch the lives of people in my world. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Church, would you stand this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord? I declare to you today the blessing that God gave 3, 4, 5,000 years ago to speak over the people. God said, release this over the people so that I might bless them. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause His beautiful face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and today fill you with His peace and the revelation that you are an influencer for Him. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place. Encourage you, follow through with the phone calls, sow the seed, enjoy the word.